Join me as we read about the baptism of Jesus and his call to make disciples. The first reading is Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, found on page 957. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, fulfill all righteousness." And then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." The second reading is found on Matthew 20, chapter 28, 16 through 20, found on page 989. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted him. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations," baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.
And I have been working on kind of a cohesive, like, philosophy of children and youth ministry for the past few months. And one of the things that just keeps coming up is this idea of the visible vows we make at baptism, the ways that we make those promises, and how important baptism has been for so many years. When we look at the story of Christ, when he's baptized and that Holy Spirit descends upon him and he experiences that connection with his cousin and with the community of faith, and then at the end when he tells us to go out and to make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, those are powerful words in our Christian faith, powerful examples of ways that we connect with each other. And those are visible promises. And when we baptize someone here at Highland, we make a promise. We promise to care for this person who's been baptized. We receive them as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, and we do our part by word, deed, with love and prayer to guide and nurture that person and encourage him or her to know and to follow Christ and care for him just like he's Christ's own. And then we say, "With God's help, we will," as a congregation. And that is a powerful moment when we make those promises. We make those promises when we baptize an infant, or rather we baptize an older child or an adult or a teenager after confirmation. We make those promises. And those are visible ways that we say, we are going to lead you in your faith. We're going to walk with you on this journey. You aren't alone. We're all connected. And here at Highland, we're really committed to the youth and the children of our neighborhood. And that's something that I have loved about this church. I was impressed with it when I came 7 years ago, and I'm still impressed with it, the way that we care for the youth and the kids. It starts with the nursery. Our nursery workers are amazing. They volunteer their time to love and to welcome and make sure that the kids' very first experience of church as a six-week-old baby is one of welcoming and love, that they're being brought into the family of God from an early age. We're excited when they come into children's worship as three-year-olds to tell them these stories of faith, to teach them the language of faith and help them understand that. And as they begin in Sunday school, to learn more stories and to build relationships with their teachers. And as they move towards middle school, they start confirmation, which is an intense study of the Bible and a way of connecting with people and learning what it means to be in the community of faith. You've seen our confirmation students this year. Jessica and Christina have read scripture and led us in our call to worship, and Mary will pray for us later. This is an active faith that we're inviting them into, and we've made promises to help them understand how to do that. As they move into middle school and high school, they get to start doing mission trips. And mission trips are something that the church has done for a long time, and sometimes that word can have a weird connotation to it to some people. But really what we're doing when we say a mission trip is we're going to serve and to learn. We're going out to say, what is God doing in this neighborhood, and how can we learn from the people who are at work there and the people who are in need there? What can we learn? How can we help? And what can we bring back to our own communities? And over the years, we've done mission projects here in Seattle. We've gone to Yakima. We've gone to Jackson, Mississippi to learn about racial reconciliation. We spent last summer in Portland, sleeping in a really hot church and helping learn about the issues in that city. And this summer, we're going to Sweden. And that might seem a little weird to say we're going to Stockholm and to Norrköping for our mission trip. But Sweden has experienced a huge influx of refugees over the years, and things are changing for their culture. And they're learning, and they're working with the local churches to figure out how to welcome their Muslim neighbors, how to reach out and extend that. What does it mean to be the church in a changing neighborhood? And as we prayed, as the youth committee prayed about what can we do for our youth this year, it was our year for an international trip, we really decided this is what we need to do. We need to know how to interact with a church in a changing neighborhood. And so we are going to Sweden as a way to learn about the culture there, to experience how the church is at work there and how God is at work there, and hopefully bring that back to our own communities. These are glimpses of how God is at work in our lives, in the world around us, and in the lives of Christian brothers and sisters on the other side of the planet, and we get to glimpse those. And it's important that we take our youth on those trips. It's also important that we celebrate milestones in the lives of our youth. And I'm so proud of our seniors that today, they are taking a huge risk in sharing. It's not an easy thing to get up here and talk. I know James and I make it look really easy, right? But it's not an easy thing to get up here and to share. And we're very excited to have our youth come and share a little bit about their lives. I emailed them a few weeks ago and gave them this question, two questions. How has Highland encouraged you to know and to follow Christ throughout the years? And how will this help you in the next phase of your life? And so as they've reflected on those questions, they've come up with different ways of responding, and we're gonna hear from them, because these are our kids. These are the ones that we made those visible vows to, that we promised to love and care for, to bring up in the faith, and to send them out, just like Christ did. So, first we're going to hear from our first one is Josh. Where's Josh? There he is. Josh is going to come share a little bit about his faith at Highland.
Good morning. So when Pastor Mary sent me the question, my first reaction was, wow, this should be pretty easy. There's so much to talk about. But then after a few minutes of reflecting, I realized I was having some trouble just picking out a few things to keep your attention spans pleased. And I'm sure I'll be very happy. I've kept it just three: youth group, service trips, and confirmation, all the things that Pastor Mary just talked about. And so youth group at Highland is one of the best ways to share and spread Christ to kids. Let's face it, learning about God is not every kid's dream. It wasn't mine, but playing games and eating cookies with friends, no kid can say no, and I surely didn't. We played some of the craziest games, had the greatest laughs, and I got some of the biggest rug burns in that gym down the hall. That carpet is not very forgiving. But then, when the time came to talk about Jesus, I was surrounded by my peers. And I'm sure as many of you know, nothing's more comforting than to be going through the same things as your friends. And building on that, youth group events are a catalyst for raising compassionate, loving, and thoughtful kids. I remember looking up to the many role models and their amazing leadership. Over the years, the time together, every 2 weeks, shaped me into the character I am with the values I hold. And next, I want to touch on confirmation, the 2-year experience of my confirmation. I've never learned so much about Christianity and the Bible in any other 2 years of my life, and I cannot have imagined having so much fun doing it. Pastor James had a way of teaching in such an interesting way that no other pastor could replicate. This experience not only increased my knowledge of Christ, but also broadened my relationship with the Lord. I'm grateful for the importance that we place on the children of this church and also the community surrounding us. So now I'm reaching my final point, and I'm glad you all are still with me. As I'm sure you know, this church gives generously and helps fund the service trips for high school and middle school students. As a result of this generosity, I have not met another 18-year-old that outside of this church who has been on the service trips I have or been more affected by what I've witnessed. In Yakima, we went to the Native American Reservation, and I was subject, along with my peers, to the generosity of families with nothing to spare as we were doing yard work and maintenance. In Jackson, Mississippi, my eyes were opened to the persecution African Americans have faced. In Portland, I witnessed the kinship between the homeless community and within it. And this August, I'm excited to travel to Sweden with the other high schoolers. And through these experiences, I've felt the joy that comes through fellowship and helping others. My eyes have been opened to the true suffering we may not see in the sheltered community in which we live. And none of this would be possible without the generosity of this church and the people that make it. And thank you. So thank you so much for giving me these opportunities. And I think we can all agree that my immediate family has done a pretty good job of raising me. But I would definitely not be the same if it were not for my church family. So thank you.
And up next, Joey Wishart.
Good morning. So I'm a very linear thinker. I like things to have one answer and with one clear path to follow. If you know my dad, this is no surprise. I'm a big fan of math and science, and I really like when things work out. I'm easily annoyed by the subjectivity and wishy-washy nature of everyday living. As you might expect, this makes the Bible a little bit of a challenge for me. The Bible's full of surprises, reversals, complex problems with no clear answers, and a myriad of names that are impossible to pronounce. That said, the Bible is also full of beauty and love, full of miracles, forgiveness, and mercy. This is a discovery that I've made all because of the teachings of those here in my church family. The church has always been there for me with prayer, lessons, and most of all, love. It speaks loudly for the church's welcoming nature that I can stand up here and confess that I do have struggles with my faith. I think it's valuable to evaluate where you are with your faith and try to work through the struggles. Without it, all you have is a blind, surface-level faith with no backbone. I've come to realize that it's only when you challenge yourself and tackle the nagging questions built up in your mind that you can grow closer to God. And it's because of this church that I've been able to grow as a young man and as a Christian. The church has prepared me to tackle the problems I'm going to face in the next chapter of my life. I'd like to collectively thank the church for actively working with me. I in no way have all the answers, but I feel that I'm ready to move on in the next chapter of my life, and I think the church has played a huge role in that, so I thank you.
Linda Gelzer.
I'm only going to talk a little bit because I really don't like being up here, but I'm actually going to play a piano piece for you in a minute, but I wanted to say one thing to you all, and that's thank you. Thank you for the influence you've had on my life and faith. And as much as I'm speaking about the Sunday school teachers over the years, or those who have been involved in confirmation or Bible study with me, so many of you who haven't been involved in those ways have had an impact on my life. and you've shown me love. And whether that's involving me in the various aspects of the church, or just saying hello on a Sunday morning and asking me how I'm doing and asking me what's going on in my life, I think that speaks volumes to how you all value youth in this church and just how you value people. So thank you for the example you've shown me, and thank you for making me always feel welcomed, appreciated, and loved. And that's all I'm going to say right now, but I'm going to go play a piano piece for you. It's James Kwartz's arrangement of I Surrender All.
Austin Ulfers, come on down.
So for 13 years, I have attended Highland Covenant Church. Many of you have seen me grow up and mature over those years. One thing I can say for sure is that there is no way I would be the person I am today without my church family. All of you have supported me wholeheartedly throughout the years, and I cannot thank you all enough. Now this summer, I'm extremely excited to go to Sweden as I learn about the refugee crisis they are experiencing there. And for me, it's extremely exciting because this will be the first time I'll be off the continent. So first time visiting Europe, get to learn about the culture, the people, and all of that. And I thank the church family for supporting me throughout that. So thank you.
And Timothy Connor. I'm going to interview Tim. All right, Tim, will you tell us a little bit about your plans for the fall, next fall?
I'm going to college as most of the other people. I'm going to Washington State University.
Go Wazoo, right? All right. And can you tell me a couple of the things you've been involved with at Highland over the years?
Well, most of them have been mentioned by the other people. There's lots of different things. There's youth group. There was Sunday school for a long time. There's been bigger things like mission trips that we've gotten to go on from Mississippi to Chick to closer ones that have all taught quite a bit of things, and just even any general interaction with everyone here, from activities to talking and to whatever service things that have come up, have all just been very good.
Thanks, Tim. All right, I'm going to invite all of our seniors back up here. We're going to pray for you guys. Thank you, Tim. I want to pray for you guys. It's been so much fun getting to know you. We've been doing some leadership stuff together this year, and you've planned odd Sundays and helped us form and shape this year, and it's been really beautiful to work with you guys, and it's been fun to see you grow up. I was looking at old pictures, and there's some cute ones of y'all in like fifth grade. So thank you for all of your hard work and for bringing friends and being a part of our church. But let me pray for you. Dear God, we thank you so much for these amazing young adults that you have put in our midst. Thank you for the ways that we have seen them grow physically, mentally, emotionally, and most of all, spiritually, Lord. Thank you for their ways of being able to share their lives with others, to pour into the lives of others. I've seen them work tirelessly, doing hard labor and spending time talking to people and getting to know people. I see them care for their friends, for their neighbors, for their families. And I'm so thankful for all of the ways that we have learned together and learned from these amazing kids. I pray that you bless them as they take this next step, as they graduate high school, spend a summer at home, and then go off to college, Lord. I pray that you would be with them, be with their parents, draw them close to you, and help them to follow you for all the days of their lives and to always move closer to you, no matter where they move in the world. We love you, God, and we give you praise for what you're going to do with these lives. We ask that you continue to guide them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Don't we have some fabulous youth?